We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
He's talking tech with Teddy. Now, here is your host, Teddy Allen.
Hey, everybody, this is Teddy Allen. Welcome to the, I think we're calling it Talking Tech with Teddy podcast. Each Thursday, and it'll be up in perpetuity, which means forever, I think. So give us a listen, spread the word, and find out what's going on at Louisiana Tech. I'll also remind you, go to LaTechSports.com. Malcolm and the gang will keep you up to speed in print and with videos. So, again, welcome to the second Louisiana Tech Athletics Podcast. Today is a special day because we're joined by one of my favorite people breathing air, and that's John Causey. We've got Coach Causey with us today because he is one of the top 50 all-time players to have ever put on the Columbia blue and red. Back in the day it was Columbia blue, which I miss, and played in A Stadium. We're playing the 51st season here this year, and of course the season opener Saturday night against the Southern Jaguars. Hope you can be there. Coach Causey and many of the top 50 players will be here to be honored that night. Coach Causey, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Ted, good to be here. You must not have too many favorite people.
No, I mean, you rate high. And I've of course, I call you Coach Causey because when I first met you, you were coaching at Louisiana Tech after your great career here. You left Tech as the all-time interception leader with 15, and then a lowlife called Doyle Adams, who's also on the top 50 team, broke it. He said that one of his favorite moments at Louisiana Tech was breaking your record because he knew how you felt about him and that you were probably happier than he was when he intercepted number 16 in his last game. Tell us a little bit about Doyle.
Well, sometimes you talk about coaching mistakes, and the last game of the year, that year he broke the record, we were way ahead. I should have been playing other kids, but I put him in, and I'll be darned if he doesn't break the record. So I've always regretted that, but Doyle does know how I feel about him, and what a great guy, an overachiever. Fine as wine.
Yeah, Doyle's one of those guys who was a walk-on, and they actually had him at third-string quarterback as a freshman. And I think EJ said this guy's giving us a lot of trouble on scout teams, so maybe we could use him on our side of the ball. And so that's what, in the spring, they moved him, and he started for 4 years.
That's when EJ left, and in practice, they just moved him. They did this before I was there. Uh-huh. And he was the type of guy, it was amazing, he might come up just to make a tackle. And the guy would just drop the ball and he'd jump on it. I mean, good things mm-hmm. happened around him. That wasn't the only thing. I told Billy Brewer one day, I said, Billy, this guy's got to play. It's amazing what happens around this. And, of course, he was a 3 or 4 year starter.
Started every year.
Great kid.
And Billy Brewer was the coach then, and in 84 and 82, won a whole lot of games before they got beat by Delaware here in the playoffs. Then 84, Doyle and the gang, when he was a junior, went to the national championship game.
Absolutely. We surely did.
Next year, they won 8 or 9 games, didn't make the playoffs, but Doyle had a great run, and he'll be here Saturday night. He'll also be here Friday night at the Doghouse. If you're listening to this on Thursday or Friday, you can call the ticket office, 257-3631. There are a few tickets left for the meet and greet of the top 50 guys at the Doghouse. And 20% of the sales all day Friday will go to the Scott Collis Scholarship Fund. Scott, of course, was a Bulldog brother. He passed away last fall. So this scholarship honors him and helps future student athletes. Also, all the proceeds from Friday night's ticket sales at $35 a piece to meet and greet the top 50 players. Those will go to the Scott Collis Scholarship Fund, and you'll be there at the Doghouse, Coach.
I will.
Friday evening. Doghouse, 102 Homer Street. We appreciate all the Doghouse does for Louisiana Tech. Doyle was a walk-on, and you were too.
Yes, I was.
So how did that go down? Why weren't you actively recruited? Were you not very good? What happened?
Well, I was one of those unusual people. Everybody in my class were at least one or two years, because I was a 5-year-old December the 3rd baby. Okay. And I started school because there was 5 kids. My mom and dad probably said, hey, enough for you. We're going to find you something to do. But I couldn't figure out why they were moving up leagues in baseball when I wasn't, why everybody was driving and I wasn't.
You weren't.
I mean, you know, to make a long story short, I graduated from Neville High School at 6 foot, 155 pounds. I was about this big around.
Okay.
I was still skinny at Louisiana Tech, but not that skinny.
Uh-huh.
And actually told my dad begged me because of my brothers. I had an All-American tight end brother, Tom, graduated in 1960. Walter graduated with the Bradshaw years and mm-hmm. defensive captain when Bradshaw was an offensive captain. And my dad said, please, please, walk on. And I said, Daddy, I'm not good enough. And then I walked on and I start looking around at these men with tattoos and, I mean, taller. I mean, I thought to myself,
you were frightened, weren't you?
Daddy, I need to come home. I said, no, stick it out. And so it worked out. And, you know, I've always kind of prided myself on the way it happened.
You should.
The interception was simply a miracle of God, the interception record. I had tremendous players, not just the Fred Dean, who was eminent pro mm-hmm. rusher, all pro and everything, a couple of great 3 or 4 defensive backs that were great, but everybody on that defense and on that, we had an offense with Duron Carr that could score so we could just play football.
Play nice.
And it just worked out good for me. They couldn't throw it to Winford, he'd catch it and go.
Winford Wilmer.
Winford's on this team.
Great CFL career.
He'd catch it and go score. So would Larry Griffin. So they had their only choice not to get hit by Fred Dean was to throw it in the middle.
Which is where
and
you
that's
were.
That's where I was. Boom. And it's great. It's just a great honor to be with incredible group of players. And there's an incredible group of players that are not on the top 50 that, you know, could very well easily be there.
Well, it's such a deep, rich tradition.
Absolutely.
Here, and just so many good players have come through. We're talking with John Causey, who's on the top 50 all-time players to play at IU Stadium. I was talking to your friend Roy Waters last night. The other day, he was on our Inside Tech football show, and he said the same thing. He was very honored to be on the top 50. He said there's probably another 50 that you could match up, and because there's so much talent here. And another reason y'all should be proud, you and Roy both were on the All-Century team too, so I don't think you got in by mistake. Let me tell you about Coach Causey's teams. You didn't play in 70, right? You redshirted or hung around when y'all were 2-8. Were you here that year?
I was actually on the kickoff team.
In 70.
Yeah, the thing I remember about that is we're playing Northeast, the old Northeast.
Yep.
And a guy, you probably wouldn't know him, by the name of Joe Prophet.
Yep.
They blocked everybody but me, thinking, well, Joe would take care of me. Uh-huh. I hit him, it felt like hitting a brick wall.
He went on to play with
that
the Falcons.
That was another time in my career that I thought, maybe there's something. Tennis?
You know. Something non-contact.
Exactly.
Joe Prophet was good. Went on to play with the Falcons. So 70 you played. The team went 2-8. But then in 71, go 9-2, win the Southland Conference, and you're the College Division Midwest Region champs. In 70, that was in 71. 72, 12-0. And 73, 12-1. A couple of NCAA national championships.
And that was the first year we won it on the field.
On the field.
Yeah.
And they expanded the playoffs, and y'all took it to Western Kentucky 34-0. It's weird. You've told me before you didn't get to play in the 73 postseason.
That's
tell
exactly
people
right.
Why that is.
Well, they had a rule back then. I guess the big-time colleges came up with this rule. But if you redshirted as a freshman, a lot of schools would play a freshman team and mm-hmm. count that as a year and redshirt your sophomore year. Mm-hmm. They had a rule that said if you redshirted as a freshman, after your last regular season game, your senior year, mm-hmm. you could not play. There were three guys, Lewis Frost, Pat Greer, and me.
Okay.
That, which really makes it even more amazing that we won. I mean, all three of us were starters.
Mm-hmm.
All three of us contributed to the team. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the coaches look up and they don't have their starting free safety, a starting offensive tackle, starting defensive tackle.
Right.
And miraculously just put it all together to, I mean, that's an excuse right there. Hey, just win a playoff game and go home. And
the chemistry on that team, that speaks a lot of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How the guys are ready to step up. Now, you went and scouted, actually. Coach Lambright sent you to scout. And I think you saw, while Tech was beating Boise State in the semifinals, you were scouting, I think, Western Kentucky and Grambling.
Actually, yes, absolutely.
Is that right?
It was Western Kentucky and Grambling. And I went with a good friend of mine by the name of Mike Myers.
Okay.
I talk with him all the
uh-huh.
time. He's down in Bay St. Louis, back in Bay St. Louis State Farm. But anyway, we were on top of that press box watching a TV of Boise, and we would fall behind, and we would quit scouting. Then we'd go ahead and start scouting. But I can remember Coach Lambright asked me, it was the first time that I ever scouted a game or anything, mm-hmm. and he asked me, he said, John, what do you think? I said, Coach, I really don't want to say this, but I really think that we would beat any one of those teams 38 points
mm-hmm.
to nothing. Uh-huh. I think the score was
34-8.
Yeah,
it wasn't close. That was
close.
After beating Boise State 38-34 in Wichita Falls, and then the next week, December 15th of 73, win the national championship 34-8. Over Western Kentucky and Sacramento. You're 21 or 22 when you're calling Coach Lambright to tell him this, that y'all will win by 30?
Well, Mike Myers and I were back, and so was uh-huh. the team back from Wichita Falls,
mm-hmm.
and it was in a coach's meeting. And
but you're a 21 or 22-year-old guy, right? It's weird to think about
yeah,
that, but then,
yeah.
and you're saying to a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer, y'all, I think you're going to win by 4 or 5
touchdowns. I did. I always had to preparing my mind, hey, this team, no matter who it is, respect all teams, fear none, and try to get that respect up. And I didn't like to think of, oh, we'll kill these guys. You know, that's when people start slapping you around a little bit. And I said, Coach, I said, this is not the way that I should say it or whatever, but I just got through playing with Fred Dean and Winford, and I knew the backups, the chemistry of our team, and they were in a semifinal game too, which ought to tell you that they're pretty good. But I just thought that we were that caliber better, and we proved it.
It turned out that you were. We're visiting with John Calls. He's one of the top 50 players ever to play in IA Stadium here at Louisiana Tech. If you're listening to this Thursday, Friday, or Saturday morning, come on out to the Ball Yard and watch the home opener against the Southern Jags. Coach Causey and his friends will be recognized Saturday evening during the game. When you showed up here, you were scared at first. There's people with tattoos, and they're saying kind of bad language, and they're just mean folks.
And
they're big, and they went 2-8. But then a couple of the great recruiting classes ever came in. And that includes Fred and Winford and those guys. And that led to a couple of national championships. You've told me before, and Denny Duran's told me this, Roy, Randy Crouch, that it was all equal. Everybody, you couldn't tell if you were a walk-on or a senior, that everybody treated everybody the same. It was some kind of magical deal. Is that your remembrance of those times?
Well, not only that, absolutely, but the real miracle was that was back in the days when blacks and whites were having problems and racial. We had none of that. Mm-hmm. Zero. We could laugh, play, get mad at one another. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it was just 1973 in America, and we just respected them as football players. And
everybody was a player.
You know, just to get along and begin to love one another and all that kind of stuff. It was a neat deal.
And y'all are still a team. I know Denny said just because y'all ran out of eligibility didn't mean you quit being a team. So y'all still meet annually. A lot of the guys do. And when Joe McNeely, God love him, passed away as one of the team captains, y'all elected another team captain. It was Charlie New.
Sure.
So y'all are still a squad.
Charlie was a crazy. He was actually younger. I was already there, but I was scared of him too. He's a big, mean guy from South Louisiana, but he turned into a teddy bear, and he's been putting on this reunion since about 1974. We've got even some guys that played previous to us have gotten into the group, and they come, and it's great to see those guys. It's a great reunion, and Charlie deserves a lot of the credit for that.
Yeah, he holds it all together. He's got everybody on the mailing list, and usually somewhere around the 1st of June, y'all all gather up, and it just goes, again, to reinforce what a special team those teams were during the Golden
Era. It's always the first weekend in June.
That's when it is? Okay. Charlie's a beautiful human being. Hey, Coach Lambright, you had a special relationship with him because you courted Linda, one of his fetching daughters. And, of course, I've had a crush on Linda. Let me look at my phone. 40 years, I guess. And she, how did that work out, though? How did you meet her, and then the first time you went over to their house?
Well, first of all, it started Pat Tilly, Joe McNeely, me, three or four others were playing cards one summer when the brochure came out. And I had the brochure, and I was going through it.
Coach's family picture in it?
And I saw her standing up against the railing of the stadium with Coach Lambright, and I said, oh, she's cute. Oh, you think she's cute? You wouldn't go out with her. You're scared. You, McNeely, I know her. You want me to set you up with her? So he did. He actually told Miss Lambright, said, Miss Lambright, This is nobody to fall in love with. I mean, tell your daughter this is just
a piece of riffraff.
And here we are married, I don't know.
You've let her in Linda for like 40 years or so.
I'm telling you. But the interesting thing is the whole time I dated Linda, I hardly ever saw Coach Lambert as long as I was playing. Mm-hmm. She and I went to the living room, and he had a den chair. I didn't want to be back there.
Right.
He didn't want to be
around you.
You know. But the day my eligibility, he got up out of the den, walked in the living room, and said, and I was, of course, scared to death. I thought, what is it? What have I done now? And he said, John, do you know how to play cards? And I said, yeah. And we went and played Rook or something, you know, and
God love him. The coach-player relationship was important to me. It won't mess that up or mess anything up on
the
team. And when you were done, then you were future son-in-law material. That speaks a lot of Coach Lambright. And Miss Jerry, God love her, passed away a couple of years ago, was off the charts. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Great cook.
I took her a bougainvillea a couple years before she died, and she was so great. It was very pretty flowers. I hung outside her kitchen, but she said, don't bring me one next year because I have to sweep up stuff. And she was awesome. Wonderful math teacher, too. Grandkids. The Lambrights' they're great grandkids. Your grandchildren. Tell us about those.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Max.
Let me interrupt for a minute. Coach calls his sired. It's just hard to believe these two beautiful people came from your loins, so I'll give Miss Linda credit. But Max Causey and Miss Molly Causey. Molly, last name now is
Gillum.
And she lives in Shreveport,
she
right?
She lives in Shreveport.
And Max, is here.
Max has two kids, Elise Claire, is in the third grade.
Golly.
And about as tall as Megan is now. And Barnes. I just started kindergarten, and even as a six-year-old, he plays golf better than me. If I could play it that way, I would still be playing, but I quit 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know his daddy takes him often.
And Molly has two kids about the same age, about a year behind both the Maxes, but she's in Shreveport and teaches ACT prep at one of the local high schools, and her husband is CFO of Holmes Honda, and great guy, an accounting guy. Molly started out in accounting and said, "Well, wait a minute, I can't have kids and account. This is too long hours. My parents were in education and were always around holidays, summers, you know, things like that." So that's how she got into education and. Two beautiful grandchildren.
Yeah, they are.
And all I do is try to spoil them.
That a boy. And her husband's name, Molly's husband's name?
It's Corey Gillum.
It's Corey. And, of course, Megan is Max's very tall, precious wife who brought you a dog the other day. And, of course, you can't say no. And what are you going to do when Megan asks you to do something? So I know how that goes, too. Max and Megan took the kids to an Astros game this last week, and he said they had a ball. Have you been on a trip with all your grandkids yet?
No, Linda is actually planning that.
A big gig?
For the next spring with all of them. I did go, you know, Max is in officiating.
Yes.
And he had the Las Vegas Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me to go and kind of babysit their grandkids while they had things to do. And I said, no, Las Vegas, what's there to do in Vegas? And what? Absolutely, I was there. Brought them cotton candy.
Okay.
Megan standing up saying, what is going on? She was just...
Because she's a very healthy person and all.
Oh, yeah.
She'll understand when she gets to be a grandma. That'll work.
Exactly.
Hey, you coached how long at Tech and then how long in preps?
25, 27 years, something like that, across state lines early on. I was at Ruston High and went to Marshall, Texas.
Right.
As a matter of fact, worked for Jack Gray, who just passed away, and I loved him. And but about 27, 26 years, I think. I really don't know.
It was a long. It was a lot of hours.
Yeah, coached Tech 81 through 86 or 87. I don't remember under Billy Brewer and A.L. Williams, and enjoyed my stint there and had some great players.
Some good runs then.
Yeah.
And try to explain to people the grind of coaching. People see on the field and that looks fun and you're competing, but like today, we're doing this on a Tuesday. They're going to be over there on the upper and lower fields at 4 o'clock, and it's a different ballgame then. It's just a grind.
Well, it is. There's a lot that goes into it, but, you know, it's fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're around like-minded people, and just the whole organization, from the training staff to the managers to the players and preparation. Watch a lot of film, and hope you don't run into a Jerry Rice or somebody like that, we did. I remember Doyle Adams said something about when Jerry caught that 84-yard touchdown pass right before halftime. He said, "That's the fastest human I've ever seen."
Yeah, coach is referring to Mississippi Valley game in 84, and that was the first round of the playoffs. They were actually favored and they led the league nation in scoring that year, but Tech beat them 5 or 6 touchdowns. But right before halftime, the way you told me was that Rice caught a little slant, and he said it was like a deer.
Exactly.
And Doyle just said, "That guy's got great football speed." You know, he said he was just here, and then he disappeared.
Exactly.
And on the ramp up at halftime, y'all were ahead by 4 touchdowns still, but you were telling Billy Laird, "Y'all got to keep scoring."
Exactly.
And that's another thing with coaches. You can't take a break till the game's over because y'all have seen it all.
That's true.
When you think of this, to wrap this up, revision with Coach calls you one of the top 50 players ever to play in IA Stadium for the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. When you think of what happened with you walking on at Tech, you know, if things had gone differently and you'd have ended up going to Northeast and paying your own way is what you're asking your dad if you could do. But you ended up coming over here. What are some of the thoughts you have when you think of this school and with all the wonderful guys you got to be involved with on that team?
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of football games in this stadium before. I saw a lot of football games over in the old stadium with my oldest brother as a little kid, 5, 7, 9-year-old. You know, I love Louisiana Tech, just like everybody that goes to Louisiana Tech. And I want the best for them, and I was a coach here, and it didn't work out, and it was my choice. It wasn't anybody else's choice, and I just want them to be as best as they can be and compete and play hard and, you know, all the attributes that Louisiana Tech feels like they should have.
It seems like they're trending in the right direction. They're 4 bowl wins, and they have won 34 games in the last 4 years, which is the most since they moved to Division I. But I'll tell you this, y'all won 44 in like 10 less games, so it was a magical period. I know it's a different era, but a really wonderful time that you got to be a part of and that you were a big part of. So I thank you as a football fan for your contributions to Tech, and still giving us Max, Megan, Molly, and who knows what Barnes and his crew is going to do.
Exactly.
So
thanks,
Coach Causey. We'll take a quick break and then be back to wrap up this week in Tech Athletics. See you.
You've been listening to Talkin' Tech with Teddy. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.